You remember, it's a lot of fun, isn't it, right, with the colored powder and everything. And then we have another slide here that talks about India. And you can see there, this is a photo from India, and it's a celebration that includes music and dancing. So it's a time when people embrace all kinds of joyful things, like music and dancing, and they are doused with a mix of water and colored powder. And what happens when you put colored powder and water together? Do you know? It sticks, right? And the crowds of people in India enjoy that. Getting messy is the point during the Holi festival. It's not about staying neat and clean. It's actually about getting really messy. And that's right, that's right. And everyone is sticky in blue, yellow, green, and pink during Holi. And this is a celebration of spring, all the colors of spring, the flowers that come out, the grass and the trees and beautiful sky and everything. But it's also a time of forgiveness. It's a time of reconciling, of coming back together with people that maybe you have had some trouble with. Maybe you had an argument about something. Maybe you don't always get along so well. But Holi is a time to remember the joyfulness, the fun that you can have with someone, and to maybe not take everything so seriously all the time. And you can see there, the powders are very important, and we'll have powder out in the courtyard after the service. We're not going to have it in the sanctuary for obvious reasons. And young people, but people of all ages, they laugh and enjoy this time of covering each other with the powder and just celebrating what it means to be a human being. Because when we have all this powder all over us, when we're all these different colors, we kind of forget maybe some of our differences that aren't so important, and we just remember that we're all colorful human beings. And you can see a man here covered in the bright colors of Holi, showering the crowd with a handful of red powder during the festivities. So, and then finally during Holi, everyone welcomes a sneak attack of dry or wet powders. And everyone enjoys the music, dancing, and bright powders that fill the air during Holi. And it lasts up to a week in some parts of India. It is something that we have a family in our congregation who identify with this tradition as part of their heritage, and they wanted to share it with us. And so that's why we will be having our celebration in the courtyard after the service. So I invite you now to go to your classes and think about the joy and fun that you have in your relationships with one another. As Holi reminds us, key to community, particularly faith community, is the idea of relationships, of being in relationship with one another. And relationship can often sound like such a serious word, but it's also about the joy that we have just in knowing one another, sometimes letting go of some of the heavier things that weigh us down. One of the ways that we manage and even let go of those heavy things is to share them with others. So during our time of joys and sorrows this morning, you are invited to share a personal sorrow that might be holding you down, or also a great joy that you want to share with others to help lift them up as well. So I invite you forward at this time if you do have something to share.
Hi there. I have a joy. I grew up on the East Coast in Philadelphia, where it is very heavily Irish. I'm really glad to see all of you in your green. I got my test results back recently to see exactly how Irish. I'm 95.9% Irish. That's like whiter than white bread. I left my family in Philadelphia about 10 years ago, and since then, around this time of year, I'm always really sad because I'm not with them. I'm not doing our tradition, which is to get together and play music. and sing songs and drink whiskey on the hour. And so this year I decided to get myself together and stop being sad and make my own tradition, and I invited a few friends to my house, who invited a few more friends, who invited a few more friends, and soon I had a house full of people singing songs all night long on Friday, and it just filled my heart with so much joy that I was practically in tears by the end of it, of happy, fulfilling, feeling like I have a community and village, and I wanted to share that because it's hard to find that. That's it.
And as always, we know that there is so much happening in everyone's life, so much that we each carry with us every day. And I invite you, as you go forward in your week, in your relationships, the people who are in your life, to ask questions, to be curious, to find out what's happening with people. That is the foundation to truly being in right relationship with others. So as we begin our time of prayer, meditation, and reflection, I'm going to invite you to choose, or to do both, or being you, you'll probably choose a third option beyond the two I give you, but you can either close your eyes if you'd like, or you can also watch the screen as we let in various colors, as I bring us through a meditation on forgiveness and reconciliation, part of the cornerstone of the holy tradition. Red. Oh, I remember how angry I was. How that last conversation, where the words shot from your mouth were missiles to my heart. How my spirit beat at the walls of my room, a scarlet bird in a cage, passionate fury burning my core. To cut the thread from you to me is to bleed, to feel the rupture of this relationship is to feel my soul burn. This is red. As I move through the market one day not long after, someone passes by who I think for just a moment is you. Just that phantom glimpse of you fills me with questions, doubts. What could I have said differently? What could you have said? Why did it end that way? This is orange. It was on a rainy day some months later, as I got into my car, that your face flickered before my eyes. A cool silver nitrate image I thought I had forgotten. And as I sat for a long time watching the pattern of raindrops on the windshield before I turned the key, oh, the memories that flooded in. Memories falling like raindrops running together into one blurry hue. This is blue. Eyes closed, I'm taken with a dream. In this vision, we walk again together. No longer separated, but reconciled. Yet this walk is on some impossible landscape alien to our own.
the grass, lavender, sky, lilac. In this impossible space, we move side by side, differences acknowledged but unimportant. I wake from the impossible, wondering at the possible. This is purple. Time has marched on in its unstoppable way. And yet for a moment it seems to be hushed. Hushed time, and I am both within and without myself for a moment. For a moment. For a moment I invite you to take in that hush. In silence. I am somewhere where the air is warm and heavy, and the green grass is long. Barefoot, I walk through this meadow, my legs tickled by nature's tendrils. And I contemplate where we went wrong. And who I was then, and who I am now. And that crimson rage is all gone from my sight now. I only see the learning and the possibilities. This is green. You are never far from my thoughts, my dreams. What's the worst that could happen, I think, picking up the phone? There is an eternity of silence, and then your voice is the miracle that answers. This is yellow. We sit in silence on a front porch swing, looking at the brilliant full moon against the velvety dark sky, its light a brilliant radiance that pulls us toward it in the dance of time and space, across the beauties of light and darkness. This is white and black. White and black that wait for the colors that will be written upon it. Let us always remember to invite in the colors.
Thank you.
A Hindu prayer. May the winds, the oceans, the herbs and nights and days, the Mother Earth, the Father Heaven, all vegetation, the sun,
be all sweet to us. Let us follow the path of goodness for all times, like the sun and the moon eternally in the sky. Let us be charitable to one another. Let us not kill or be violent with one another. Let us know and appreciate the points of view of others. And let us unite. When I woke up on Friday morning to the news of the mosque shootings, there was only one thing that surprised me. It wasn't that there were, at the time they were reporting, 49 people dead. It wasn't that the gunman was targeting a particular religious group. It wasn't that he identified as a white nationalist. It was that it took place in New Zealand and not the United States. And I wondered in that moment what that said about where we are as a country, as a world. I don't know about you, but just a few short years ago, I wasn't even talking about the phrase white nationalism. And now we see evidence of it all over the world, not just in the United States, rising in Great Britain, Europe, Australia, Canada. And when a lone person feels empowered to go and shoot dozens of people, then I realize it's not just a large system problem. It's a theological one. The core of some people has been rotted by the current poison in the air. So how do we fight this rot, this thing called white nationalism, especially as we see how dangerous it can be? Well, one answer is we fight it with color. Today, of course, we acknowledge Holi, and we're celebrating it after the service. How fitting that this festival of colors comes for us as a response to the stark realities that isolated whiteness can bring. We need color. Another Hindu prayer. Nature's beauty is an art of God. Let us feel the touch of God's invisible hands in everything beautiful. By the first touch of his hand, rivers throb and ripple. When he smiles, the sun shines, the moon glimmers, the stars twinkle, the flowers bloom. By the first rays of the rising sun, the universe is stirred. The shining gold is sprinkled on the smiling buds of rose. The fragrant air is filled with sweet melodies of singing birds. The dawn is the dream of God's creative fancy. So whether you identify as a theist or not, I would like to think we could all get behind that idea of creative fancy. I love that. That sense of being colorful, of embracing the whimsy of nature, I think that is at the heart of Holi. One thing I've noticed, certainly in myself, is that we Westerners tend to take our relationships so seriously sometimes. It's as though sometimes many of us wake up each morning to a list on our bedroom wall, who I'm holding a grudge against, who I don't like. We make decisions about who people are, whether they're in our circle or not, and then sometimes we try and cast them out forever. The thing is, if we are truly part of a greater circle, a human circle, then nobody we cast out is beyond our reckoning. Holi invites us to forgive. And obviously there are times where forgiveness is something you do alone. It
You can't always be in a direct relationship with someone. Abusive relationships, toxic relationship. But Holy invites us to forgive, to let go of what holds us back from being in relationship with those we might have tension with. But the piece I love about it is that it doesn't take forgiveness and reconciliation too seriously. It's whimsical, it's silly, it's humorous. It reminds us that at our center as human beings, we are kind of ridiculous. We are. And coming to terms with that knowledge that we at our core are maybe not as important as we sometimes think we are, that we are even foolish. That ability to reckon that, I think, actually makes us profound. It's the great common denominator. It's one element I feel like is missing in our world right now, something light, something joyful, something that reminds people of all the colors available to them, whether that be skin colors, gender identities, personality types, and so on, that there is more than just one thing, more than white, and that color isn't something to be scared of, and that we can smile and laugh and heal individually and as a human race. Another Hindu prayer. I offer you peace. I offer you love. I offer you friendship. I see your beauty. I feel your feelings. My wisdom flows from the highest source. I salute that source in you. Let us work together for unity and love. Today we continue our series on the intersection of specific faith traditions and Unitarian Universalism. We've talked about Christian and Jewish Unitarian Universalists, Buddhist UUs, humanist UUs, and they've actually been pretty straightforward sermons for me to write. But our relationship to Hinduism is more complicated in some ways. There are so many colors to Hinduism, and all those colors sometimes clash a bit with our Puritan roots. The Puritans weren't exactly known for being colorful, right? And yet, while Hinduism, with its multiple deities and its vibrant colors, and Unitarian Universalism, with its historical emphasis on rationalism, they can certainly appear superficially at odds, and yet, maybe we're not so different in some ways. Maybe we UUs really don't have it all so straightforward and laid out as we sometimes like to think. For instance, how do we answer that classic joke? How many Unitarians does it take to change a light bulb? You know the answer to this one?
Four.
There's one answer. Or we might say that we choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, we appreciate if in your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you. And you know, you're invited to write a poem, or maybe you could compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with a light bulb. Present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way LED, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence. Okay. Now tell me that's not as complicated as Hinduism's multiple deities and colorful art, right? Unitarian Universalist Hindu Ashok Nagrani says, "As I started to learn more about Unitarian Universalism, I was amazed at how much it had in common with Hinduism. Let's review some of the basics of UUism. We think it is not important what you believe, but how you behave. Hinduism similarly places a very high importance on action, action which is done in devotion to the universe without ego or attachment. Action and doing your duty are considered prime ways to achieve nirvana.
Another point of great similarity in the Unitarian Universalist covenant, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Hinduism considers everything in nature divine. The animals, plants, earth, water, fire, all objects, material and immaterial, are considered divine. Humans are part of this earth, just like the animals, plants, the rivers, and the seas. There is divinity in it all. This divinity connects us, and it connects us to the Supreme. You know, these intersections about Hinduism and Unitarian Universalism, they're not contemporary observations alone. Long history here of multiple intersections of Unitarianism and Hinduism, and we've talked about them in previous years. One such intersection I wanted to bring up this morning was in large part the work of Ram Mohan Roy. He was born in Calcutta in 1772, and Ram Mohan Roy was a Hindu thinker and writer. He published several works seeking to promote a rational, ethical, non-authoritarian social reform Hinduism. He was initially excited by the ethics of Jesus' teachings, but the supernatural elements of the Christian scriptures ultimately seem superfluous to Roy. Thus, in 1820, he wrote a book about Jesus, emphasizing Christ's moral and ethical sayings, omitting theological passages and miracle stories. And Thomas Jefferson kind of did the same thing with the Jefferson Bible. Roy's scholarly writing sparked interest among British and American Unitarians, as well as promoting Unitarianism as a movement in India. And he's now referred to as the father of modern India. And indeed, he's quoted as saying, "There's a battle going on between reason, scripture, and common sense, and wealth, power, and prejudice. Modern concerns in India and everywhere, even today." So this Hindu Unitarian crusaded against social evils like the customs of child marriage or widows who having to throw themselves on their husband's funeral pyre. He believed in strong education for all, including women and people of different caste systems. He founded an English language school in 1822 with a Western-style curriculum that included science. He set up the Brahmo Samaj, a Unitarian Hindu movement charged with fighting social evils. It's fitting we're discussing Roy on the day we speak about the Holi Festival, for it too is known as a great leveler where distinctions of caste, class, age, and gender are suspended. After all, by the time everyone's been covered in colored powder, it's hard to tell who is of what class. I want to ask you, as we celebrate this festival of colors, are you able to see the colors of the world around you? Or in this era of the current administration, the many global ills, has your understanding of the world become black and white? Good, bad, little in between? Have you struggled to find that greater love for all humanity, that peace inside yourself that allows you to let go of the feelings that weigh you down when others do things you disagree with? I think it's a natural human response to want to neatly categorize things as good or bad. And certainly some actions like the gunman in New Zealand, bad. But I also think that those kind of actions often come from an inner place that is shifted to a stark black and white understanding of the world. And that reminds me that even if I'm on the other end of the spectrum, there are dangers in not seeing the full colors available to us in the world, in our humanity, in our complexity. We are multicolored. And when we can learn how to have all these hues harmoniously living beside each other, then there will be peace and happiness. A Hindu prayer. May all in this world be happy, may they be healthy, may they be comfortable and never miserable. May the rain come down in the proper time. May the earth yield plenty of corn.
May the country be free from war. UU Minister Abhi Janamanchi writes, born in India, I was raised in the Brahmo Samaj, a liberal Hindu movement with close ties to Unitarian Universalism. When I first started attending a UU congregation, I was pleasantly surprised to find not just spiritual communion, but something more. I was elated to discover a community of kindred spirits who engaged with life's intimate questions with openness, honesty, and humility, who challenged and inspired each other to live out their values in the world, and who taught their children to do the same. I hold to the center that all life is relationship, and that God is in the relationships. We are forged by who we love and by the loving itself over time. Today, we Unitarian Universalists share many values with Hinduism: unity at the core of religious diversity, God or truth can be experienced in many forms, but there is one ultimate reality of love that defines our existence. Like Hinduism, we affirm the interconnection of all things, the personal search for spiritual truth, and a respect for other religious paths. Hinduism is a religion that is indeed lived out in full color. It stretches across regions and touches multiple cultures with a seemingly infinite number of stories, rituals, and personalities that populate its practice. No wonder, then, that Hinduism has Holi, a time of joy and celebration that uses colors to remind us of our connection to one another, the relationships that sustain us, and the importance of love and forgiveness. A final Hindu prayer. There is a light that shines beyond all things on earth, beyond all of us, beyond the heavens, beyond the highest, the brightest heavens. This is the light that shines in our hearts. What is this light? It's one that reveals the colors of our lives, but more importantly, the light reveals what colors are available to us. The ones that we may have not seen, chosen not to see. This morning with this celebration, we are invited to consider the intersection of UUism and Hinduism, consider the colors of spring, consider the joys and challenges of relationships, to consider the making of beloved community, and to think about the practice of forgiveness. Even forgiving humanity for its mistakes, or not seeing the colors, for the violence and injustice that is too often perpetrated in the denial of the multiple hues we human beings manifest in our lives, physically, spiritually, and mentally. And so finally, we end with my prayer. Let us live in wonder at the possibilities of color that life and humanity have to offer. Let us open our eyes to the vibrancy of those hues around us, knowing that by welcoming in them, we will brighten our own colors. Let us reject that which is colorless, that seeks to fade the hues of others, and instead open ourselves up to the whimsy and joy that comes from pink, blue, red, orange, green, yellow, black, purple, and on. And when we have laughed, and yes, cried, and forgiven, and looked at ourselves in the mirror covered in rainbow-hued dust, may we at last feel the dawning of a new color in our hearts, the color of peace.
Your offering is vital for this community. By giving to UUCF, you assure that this community of caring will continue to do good works in our world. We all thank you for your generosity.